Take two, fishing guide podcast.
Yeah.
Usually don't have to do retakes, so we had to do a retake. It was a systems malfunction. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Mitch,
I'm not the systems engineer, are you?
Mitch, co-host, is here, so we're extremely excited about that. And Les Smith is here, the godfather of power trolling. And so, Les, we're just going to start out. How did you end up with using Pico lures? Did you know Mitch, or how did that come about?
No, absolutely. We're actually fairly new friends, but I'll kind of tell you how I got started. But I love crankbaits. Down here on our Mississippi lakes, from about mid-May, you got June, July, and August are just killer months for running crankbaits. I power troll on the front, so I'm running crankbaits on the bottom of my power troller rigs, and I'm running crankbaits on my backboards, my church tackle planter boards. So love crankbaits. Pico just happened to be my favorite bait. Crappie Depot down in Batesville was probably, well, Ricky knows me very well, but I think every time he'd get a shipment in, he'd call me and say, "I got some new Picos in. Come look at them."
Yeah,
so,
all right. Yeah.
I love Pico. So the next step was when we kind of started the Crappie Cartel.
Uh-huh.
And we all love to run cranks. So we were talking about crankbaits, and I said, "Well, there's not but one I want." And I said, "I'm not sure whether he'd want to participate," but I picked the phone up, called Mitch. He said, "Man, love to," and and we're tickled to death, man. We wouldn't go out there without him. So,
tell us a little bit about you finding out about Les. How'd that come about?
I tell you what, when you own a company, Brad, you tend to notice, and I was a tournament fisherman for 20 years, so you notice little trends, you know. Somebody over here wins a tournament on this color of bait, and you, for 2 or 3 weeks, everybody in that town, in Nashville, they all wanted a Wonder Bread crankbait for about a month, you know, and then that kind of faded away. All of a sudden, down here in this part of Mississippi, everybody wants these three-color crankbaits, you know, Killer Bee and – you know, all these things, and it's like, and it just kept going, and it just kept going, and it just kept, it's like, we're kind of running out of inventory on some of these things, and they all go into one place, you know. So, I mean, I was kind of doomed to meet with him if I had to come down here and find out where all the orders were going, you know.
Right.
His buddy down at Batesville went from ordering, you know, what would be 4 or 5 box shipment to a pickup truck load, you know. And it was more than what we were just shipping. It was what he was selling out of here right out of his backyard, too. I mean, these things were clicking, man. You know?
Yeah, everybody I talked to was, man, they were, "Hey, I got my Picos on today."
Yeah. it was a pretty, what I thought was a fairly successful bait down here already until you got a hold of it. lit it on fire,
it's
man.
It's a good one.
And it was really, Grenada was really on fire. A lot of your colors that were designed came from people fishing guides and pros in Grenada.
Exactly right. I mean, it's like John Harrison has been an influence on this. Uh-huh. Scotty Vance, David Shands, the whole crappie.com gang and everything.
Right.
They've all influenced a lot of what we built. And now we've got like the influencer of the fisherman, you know. You influence my bait, now you got the influencer of the fisherman is like, "Hey, man, that's a match made in heaven right here."
Yeah, so talk a little bit about you went from that step to using Picos, and then you went to the next step, which is Gen 2, which is church planer boards.
Yeah, that started a couple of years ago, and a good friend of mine, Jim Churchill, I wish Jim was here this weekend for our master class, but he's had a few health problems that kept him from coming.
Right.
And but Jim came down. Jim was a crappie fisherman and a walleye fisherman up in Michigan. And, you know, up in Michigan, all the walleye guys run planer boards.
That's right.
I mean, they know if you want to talk to somebody – to learn how to run planer boards, you talk to a walleye guy. They know what they're doing. So Jim and I were very good, became very good friends in the last 2 or 3 years. And he was coming down. He fell in love with power trolling. And then he started in on me about how I can take power trolling to the back of the boat. And
right.
And I was a little stubborn, to be honest with you, about, you know.
Really, stubborn?
Yeah, no.
Crazy.
No.
Crazy.
No. You know, I'm not. But, but yeah, I really am. And I was kind of setting my ways. How about that?
Right, yeah.
That may be a little better way to put it. Jim kept saying, I can show you how to take that power trolling concept. I can put it out there with those planter boards and get it out away from the boat. And finally, he was down fishing. My nephew actually got in a boat with him and went out one day. And we weren't just killing the fish. We were catching a few and having some decent days. And Jim and my nephew, Michael, went out, and they came in with a boatload, a two-man limit, of just great big old crappie. And I said, what did y'all do that we didn't right. do? And I said, well, we caught them on planter boards. We took your concept. We run it with the 3-ounce weights. We put it on a Church Tackle TX-12s. We run them outside of the boat. No power trollers on the front. Jim wasn't rigged up to run power trollers on the front. Right. He was just running Church Tackle planter boards off the back. So, but he took my power trolling system and put it under the planter boards. And he made a statement that light bulb went on. It was he said, you know, Les, I've been trying to tell you that Church Tackle planter board now becomes your rod tip. And yep. I thought about it, and I said, you know, that makes sense. These fish had gotten spookier and spookier. I don't know, if it's because the live scope may have running these fish all over the lake. I don't know. But we can look at them going, you know, on the graphs now, and you'll see them out there 20, 21, 22, 25 feet, and they'll be coming right at you, and they just dive or dart.
Take off.
And they're gone, and you think, what in the world's going on here? We've had to go to 20-foot poles on the front of the boat. Now, I remember the day when we ran 12s.
Oh, yeah. I've still got 12 PSTs, man.
I'm sitting there thinking, my gosh. 12-footers were what you wanted way back when.
Yeah.
And then we went to 14, then we went to 16, then 18, 20. I'd probably go to 22 if you had them.
Yes.
The further you get it out away from the boat, more fish you're going to catch. But then when you take it to the next level, put it on the Church Tackle planter board, and you get it outside what we're doing on the front of the boat, it's unbelievable. I've never seen a combination of fishing technique that works as well as that.
Yep. Yeah. Let's talk about colors, Mitch. And so colors, you have 42 different colors in the deep dive, and you got 13 colors in the square bill.
Exactly. Yep.
So talk about the colors, sometimes how they get developed. Has Les come up to you and said, hey, I want you to design this special color for me?
Well, I can't release that kind of information to you live on
air. Oh, well, I'll just sign a non-disclosure.
You live too close to me.
I'll sign a non-disclosure agreement.
So we're getting to experience that color shift. And why there's 42 colors this year. For the past couple of years, Grenada's had that good fertile green color to it, you know, and that's what makes those three-color baits, the flashy ones that you've been using, they've really been working.
Oh, yeah.
But, hey, guess what? Now something else. we're back to Grenada orange out there now, aren't we? We've got brown, deep, dark brown water. And this lake's got, 8 foot left to go to fill up?
Yeah.
Yeah, it ain't going to get no cleaner.
No.
So this is why we've got color combinations. It's because lakes shifts and time shifts and daylight and darkness and rain and flood and drought and all this stuff. This all affects the colors that those fish are going to feed on. And that's what we're getting a dose of it this year. I went home and restocked my box, made sure I had more colors in it this evening.
Are there colors that when you go out there, you wait until you get to the lake, and then you decide, hey, this is kind of the color I want to start with? Are there colors that you're starting with, and then you switch accordingly?
Well, there's two things I'm going to look at when I get there. I'm going to look at the water color. That's the first thing.
All right.
And this Grenada water was pretty milky.
Yeah, it is.
It was not clear. And then you're going to look at the weather. I mean, if you, it's cloudy, it's overcast, you got murky water, you better get you some dark baits on there.
Yep.
And by dark baits, what do you mean?
Well, like maybe a black pink.
No, they are out of beach ball, so don't say that.
Yeah, I fix say beach ball. Beach ball, yeah.
I was hoping to go a whole podcast show without someone saying beach ball.
Yeah, you got
to
get some beach ball. Beach ball, it quickly became one of my top five easy this year. But now let me tell you, those splatterbacks.
Uh-huh.
Oh, those splatterbacks are deadly.
That whole series.
Yep. I don't care if it's.
There's a time and place for every one of them.
Yep. That shark has been a go-to bait for me all year. Fish love it. You'll see tomorrow. We're going to eat it tomorrow. You'll see tomorrow. Yep. It'll be a big shift. The water's going to be cleaner. It's going to be a little clearer, so you're going to see a little change in bait color tomorrow. Right.
Good deal. Yeah.
Does depth play a part in your color selection too? Because, you know, typically when you're power trolling, what depths are you running at, say, on Eden?
Well, you know, you have to kind of look at where the fish are at in the water column, where they're feeding, where the shad are at. You know, a lot of these fish we've been catching early, and early in the morning, generally, fish are up.
Right.
And you just kind of – we stagger our poles. I've learned live scope is not the answer to it all. I love live scope to identify fish, see if I'm in fish, but using it other than – trying to, people say, well, you're scoping fish. No, you can't run 1.7 miles an hour when you can't run eight poles. I can only see one pole. I can't even tell you what the other poles are doing.
I know. I wrote an article about that, kind of an article that was on the internet. And did you see that?
Oh, would that happen to be the one you said spider scoping or something?
That was the one.
I called it the cheater box. That got me in trouble, Brad.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't have, because you can't. Yeah. You literally, like you just said, at 1.7, you're like a big moving machine. You're a big fog bank that's moving down, and you're just trying to.
And I'm not looking at my baits out on the back on the planer board. I'm looking at one rod.
That's right.
So, you know, when people say, oh, you're cheating, man, they don't know what they have no idea what they're saying or what they're talking about. you know, you can use a live scope for certain things.
Right.
For me, because I'm not a single pole live scope. Right. Live scoper, and people need to separate live scope. Are you a single pole live scoper looking at a graph, picking fish off, or are you trolling? Because there's two big
and
differences.
When you're trolling, you might as well call it a side scan.
If you turn that thing off tomorrow, it wouldn't hurt my feelings one bit.
We never took cover off of it all day.
That's right.
It's got a cover on. I don't care. Of no use to me whatsoever. Yeah. It just makes me mad, actually, to watch the fish leave.
Yeah. you can, on sonar, just old school, you go back, you're going to see where the shad bait balls are at.
Right.
You're going to see where the fish are at in the water column. You see the same thing. But, you know, just to have it on there, to be able to know that when I sit down, I turn it on, I'm identifying big fish.
Right.
I can see them on the live scope. Right. Then from there, I could cut it off and be happy. Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
But mapping is actually more important for you.
Oh, well, you took that map away from me. I'm dead in the water.
That's what we use today exclusively.
Yeah.
That's why the boat, well, you saw my boat keep doing this stuff all day
following the contour.
You knew what I was
doing. Yeah, I knew exactly what you did. Yeah.
See, I thought he was drunk. I was in the boat. I was like, he'd had too much.
Blue is a no-go. White is where
that's
you go.
Right.
But you want these planer boards in blue and these planer boards in white.
Absolutely. And you don't want the boat right on top of your fish. If you can get by with it. Now, I knew exactly what you guys were doing. and if you noticed us out there, we may be coming. We're trolling too. We're turning. All of a sudden, we were following the contour lines.
Right.
And so
just a little further out. Yep.
And the thing about me, I learned from Captain Coleman. Steve's one of my best friends, and he's part of the cartel. He fishes with me all the time. So it's easy to sit in a boat with somebody like him and not learn. Something's got to be wrong with him.
No doubt.
You know what I mean?
No doubt.
I mean, that guy's he's Mr. Fisherman.
He's forgot what the rest of us know.
But I learned over the years that fish, especially this time of year, it's about reaction. So think about that's why power trolling is so exciting, is because fish don't have time to think about it. You're running at 1-7, you're moving fast. That fish has either got to say, I want it or I don't. You go by him. It's got to be reaction. And what happens is, and we see it on a live scope by using a live scope, and it's just looking at how fish maneuver around and what they do and their habits and the way they act. But you can see a fish following those baits, and I could take and I can take the front of that boat or my remote, and I can turn it to the left real quick, real sharp, and then all of a sudden it'll pull that bait up. And boy, I've seen that fish come up and just hit it. And or I can swerve it back to the left. When you're doing that, now Coleman and them call it wildcatting. I don't know if that's the name.
That's pretty common.
Yeah. But do I do that? I do it all day long. So if you look at me going down a lake, if I got that remote in my hand, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing this. And guys in the back of the boat get a little irritated with me, but you know, hey.
That's see, it wasn't because I can't drive. I was wildcatting.
That's right. Yeah. That's
right. He can't drive.
But he can wildcat.
I'm looking around all the time where I'm going next, and I'm just going on. I'm wildcatting.
Okay, give us a tip on Pico lures, Mitch. If you could give us one tip on using Pico crankbait, what would that be when you're trolling? And this is trolling and not using a weight. This is when you're trolling planer board or free lines only.
Planer board, free line, try to cover as wide a swath as you can. Try to cover your color palette. That don't mean every crankbait. That means have some blues and some greens and some oranges and some dark colors and some light colors inside that palette. My ideal setup on 8 rods would be right now on a – Norton, you're not as shallow as a fish are right now, but normally I would start at, say, 55, 45, 35, 25, 25, 35, 45, 55. Okay. Get my depth set, get my colors going on, and I try to match my palette across both sides with different kinds of baits until I figure out what they try to bite.
Okay.
And to play off what he's talking about with that fish coming because he can't get to the bait.
Right.
I'll remind everyone right now that those ugly color baits that don't resemble anything, you're not matching the hatch. A fish doesn't have thumbs. He doesn't know what it is till he puts it in his mouth. All you got to do is jerk.
That's right.
Les, if you could give them a tip to power fishing and for them to be a better power fisherman, what would that be?
I think what makes what we do with the planer boards so different than what everybody else does with the planer boards. And I'm not trying to tell anybody how to run a planer board. Right. I'm just simply trying to tell you why it made our system so deadly. Is if I'm trolling on the front and I'm got a line counter reel and I got a 2-ounce weight, I'm just going to say it because that's all I'm running right now. It's twos because most of the fish have been above 12 foot in the water column.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what lake we've been. So I'm not having to get down there to 18, 20, 22 feet like a summertime pattern. Then I'll go to the 3-ounce weights. But I'm just going to tell you, if you want to learn how to run some planer boards and be deadlier with that system, put your weight on, build you some 5-foot leader setups to make it look like a long line setup. Unlike Mitch, and nothing against Mitch because a lot of people run those planer boards, but if he's got to get a bait down to a certain depth, he's got to let out enough line if he runs no weight, and if that's a diving bait, and he's going to run that thing back. If he says, I got to dive that bait down 12 feet, then he's probably got to be back at least 80 70, 80 feet, 60, maybe
40.
Yeah, but he's got to put 60. Out 40 foot of line just to run in that water column.
Right.
I can sit there with a 2-ounce weight. I got a 5-foot leader.
You can pinpoint it.
I can pinpoint it and drop it down more vertical. And I can only let out 10 feet. If I say I need to run 8 foot, 10 foot, I got 8 foot behind my planer board. If I run 40 feet, I pull that planer board in. I only got 40 feet. I only got 8 feet of line that I got to deal with a fish.
Right.
So I'm getting the fish in quicker. And I'm, in my opinion, identifying how to get in that strike column a little bit better. I just say, if you really want to learn how to get good at planer boards, learn how to do it. Either do it just naturally the way a lot of people do it, or I'd highly advise learning how to use it with weights.
Right. And Church Tackle actually has some snap-on weights they that do. You can use. They have 1, 3, and 2 ounce, and they actually have snap-on kits.
Oh, yeah.
That's the most affordable way to buy them. And, heck, that just takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Of course, Pico Lures. If you're looking for some snazzy hats, some of these cool hats, these white
all the cool guys.
You
got
to know somebody.
But if you don't know someone, you can go to picolures.com, and you can buy them there. And so Mitch has them in stock. He's got shirts in stock. So you can find that stuff there. Make sure you go there. Of course, they have 42 different color patterns in the deep diver, 13 in the square bill, and they have other fishing tackle gear that's there. So check them out at picolures.com. Also, our other sponsors, B&M Poles. We didn't talk that much about B&M Poles, but Les uses B&M Poles on his boat. He uses like the Gunner, and he also used Sam Super Salties for a while.
No, I never used the Sam Salt. I like the Gunners. No, Jim uses the Super Salt.
And I use Sam Super Salt. Mm-hmm. We did that today, and we caught fish on Grenada.
No, I've always used the Gunner rod.
Yep. And then you have up front, you're using BGJPs.
I don't run the BGJP. I run the PSTs.
Oh, all right.
They're a little stiffer back mount. Yep. And they're designed to handle. I can run those 20-foot PSTs, and they'll handle up to 3 ounces of weight.
All right. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Check them out at bnmpole.com. And that pretty much wraps it up. If they want to find out more about Les, where would they go?
You know, they can message me on Facebook. I've got a Power Trolling for Crappie page. We've got a Crappie Cartel page. Okay. Just go out and join some of those communicate.
Yep. And you can find out more about Mitch at picolures.com. There's something there every day, something that's new, and you never know where he might be or I might be. So check that out. And that pretty much wraps it up. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp. Lures in the water.